Psalms chapter number 29. When we find your place, we'll stand, please. Book of Psalms chapter number 29. I'm going to give you what the Lord has put on our heart for this evening. And I stand amazed at how God can give you what you need just in reading through your Bible in a set plan. And sometimes it amazes me how that He orders things in such a way to meet my needs every day. Each day may be different, but God always puts the pieces in order. And this is just something God helped me with a couple days ago. And I got to spend some time on it today. I hope it'll be a blessing to you tonight. Book of Psalms, chapter number 29. I want to read the entire chapter here, just 10 verses. The Bible said, Psalms 29, verse number 1, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, and the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve and discovereth the forest, and in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace." Let's go to God in prayer and ask Him to bless the reading of His Word tonight. Father, Lord, thank You so much, Lord, for the Word that we got to read tonight, Lord, that thousands have died for and given their lives for so we could hold it in our hands tonight. God, thank You for loving us enough to give us a Word, God, and then preserving it, Lord, from generation to generation, Lord, till tonight, Lord, we could take it and open what You'd have for us, Lord, from the Word of God tonight. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to us. Speak through us, God, help us in a special way, and Lord, we leave closer to You, Lord, doing Your will, Lord, more than we were when we came in, God, closer and ready to serve You for another day. We ask this all in Your precious, holy, wonderful name, amen. You can be seated. I want to preach tonight on this thought, on a message for the mighty. A message for the mighty. When you begin to think about this book here, this chapter here, I want to give you 3 points about this, and then we'll go to the house about this message for the mighty. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the cry in this message for the mighty. Notice what he said here in verse number 1. He said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength." And this cry is going to go on to tell us all about who He is. And I don't know if you could tell from reading this psalm in this chapter, but this psalm in this chapter, Brother Laddie, it's just all about Him. And boy, I like those psalms and those chapters where David sure has a problem and David may have something in front of him, but every once in a while he just writes one that's all about the Lord and it's just all about Him. And that's exactly what this psalm is going to be about. It's all about who He is. And I would say to you, first of all, this cry that David has is a loud cry. He said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." And you know, you begin to study the Psalms, and the Psalms can begin in a variety of ways. And sometimes David begins as a prayer, and he'll say, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." Or he'll say, you know, "Deliver me from my enemies." Or he'll have it begin with a prayer. And sometimes he begins with a proclamation. He'll have a statement, a declaration to make to begin his writing. Some of them, they begin as questions. He said, "How long, O Lord, shall the godly man perish?" He has a lot of different ways to begin the Psalms. Some begin as questions and some begin as answers. Some give an introductory thought and then spend the entire chapter talking about that thought. But here, in the beginning of this chapter, David begins with a statement. He said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." David, even more than a statement, he has a request. He has a command, not as the king, but just as one man to another. David has a cry. David said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." This is a call to action. See, what he's trying to do is it's not about David and it's not for David. David has got something in mind for those who are around him, something for them to do. It's a call to action. It's a call of assurance. There's no question mark on the end of this statement. He is not concerned about whether or not he should say this or not. He's not in the air about whether or not how this is going to go over. No, this is a statement. This is a command, a request. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." This is a loud cry. It's a call to action, a call of assurance, but it's a call of ambition. Because nobody's asking David to make this statement. Nobody's come to David and said, "Now, you'll get more votes if you say, 'Give unto the Lord glory.'" No, no, no. This is in David's heart. It's something David is concerned about personally. This is an ambition that David has. I'd say that it's a loud cry, but then it is a limited cry. He said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty." David, at times, he'll write to the righteous and ask them to praise the Lord. And at times, he'll write to Israel and ask all of Israel to praise the Lord. And at other times, he'll advise the kings to say, kiss the son, lest he be angry. David has a wide audience that he writes to. But when he writes this psalm in particular, he has just one group in mind. He said, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. We'll go on to study that David will even end the book by calling on everything that hath breath to praise the Lord. But right here, in this psalm and in this chapter, David is just writing to one people group in particular. And he says, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. And he's reaching far beyond the people that are around him. And he's reaching far beyond Israel. And he's reaching far beyond everything that we can see down here. And he's crying to the ones that are above, to the angels in heaven. That word mighty signifies a God or an angelic being. And he's crying to those angels that are in heaven and saying, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. And so David here is writing a psalm to the angels. He's writing a psalm to those who are in heaven, to those who are around the throne of God. And it is a call to the ones who reside with God in heaven. It is a loud cry. It is a limited cry, but then it is a large cry. David's got some things that he wants these angels and these mighty to do. And this is what he says. First of all, he said, give unto the Lord. O ye mighty, give unto the Lord. And notice what he says, glory and strength. So this cry that David has, this message to the mighty, the first thing that he's asking them to do is to give to a specific person, to give to the Lord. But then he's got something specific in mind he wants them to give. He said, give glory and strength. And boy, you begin to study that word give, and it doesn't make sense at first because I don't have anything to offer God. I don't have any glory. I don't have any strength. I don't have any righteousness. But that word give, it means to ascribe, to credit, to recognize someone as. So he's saying, hey, you mighty that are around the throne in heaven, ascribe the glory unto God and recognize God for His strength and for His power and give Him the glory, is what he says first of all. O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. That word signifies weight, and it means honor and reverence. He said, give to the Lord the honor the reverence that He deserves. Don't belittle Him for who He is, and don't besmirch His name, and don't treat Him as any less than He is. Oh, ye mighty that are around the throne, don't get complacent with whose presence you're in. He said, give unto Him the glory that is due unto Him. It's interesting that in verse number 2, he says, give unto Him the glory due unto His name. Well, you begin to think about the names of Jesus and the names of God, and they tell us that there were 14 different names that God gave to us to describe Himself in the Old Testament. But man, you begin to think about those God and those names that God gave us. The name like Jehovah and Yahweh, where He says, I am the Lord in Exodus. Think about where He calls Himself Elohim in Genesis 1:1 as He creates the world. You think where He calls Himself the Mighty One in Genesis 14:18. In Genesis 22:14, He calls Himself the Lord who will provide. He calls Himself the Lord who heals in Exodus 15:26. The Lord who is my banner. The Lord my shepherd in Psalm 23:1. He calls Himself the Lord God in Genesis 2:4. He calls Himself the Lord, the hope of Israel in Jeremiah. He calls Himself God Almighty in Genesis 17. He calls Himself the Rock of Israel and the Holy One of Israel. And David said, hey, don't forget about His name. When you begin to think about God, don't get used to the name that you're around and the Holy One of Israel and how He's the Rock and how He's the Shepherd and how He's the Creator and how He's the existent One. And He's one that always has been and always will be and is right now. Give unto Him the glory that's due unto His name. All of this without David not even getting to talk about the coming Messiah. Boy, when I begin to think about the names of God, I start thinking about Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Bride and Morning Star, the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, the Messiah, the One who is and is, will to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. David hadn't even touched on all that, but he said, hey, give unto Him the glory that's due unto His name. David's got a call for these mighty beings that are around the throne. He said, don't you forget to give Him the glory for who He is, for His name. But then he said to give unto the Lord glory and strength. Not only to ascribe to Him the honor that He deserves, but the strength that He possesses. David, if you begin to consider it, is a man who understands strength. David knows about might, and David's friend said of him as a young man, he said, I have seen a mighty, valiant man and a man of war, prudent in manners and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. That servant of Saul said that to Saul as David was a young man. He said, he is a mighty, valiant man. David's foes will say of him as an old man that he said, for all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man. Boy, everybody knew about David that if there's one thing in particular that you didn't need to get wrong about David, don't get confused about, David was a strong man. David was a mighty man, and David was a valiant man from his youth where he fought the lion and the bear and he killed Goliath, and up into his adult years where Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s, on where he kills the sons of the giants and on where he becomes the king and fights Israel's enemies, all the way up into his old age. They said, hey, you need to know about David. David's a mighty man. David's a valiant man. David not only was a mighty man himself, but David was the leader of some mighty men. The Bible said this, that they helped David against the band of rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor. We begin to study about these men that come to David, and the Bible talks about the 30 that were mighty around him, and then the 3 that sailed above those, and there was one that stood above them. David, his whole life was surrounded by mighty men. David knew about strength, and David knew about valor, and David knew about might. David not only had led mighty men, David had fought mighty men. Well, you talk about some enemies that David had faced, all the way from the lion and the bear to Goliath. The Bible said the enemies he faced were men of valor and strength. David is a man who understands strength and he understands valor. And as a man who understands all these things, as a mighty man who's seen strong men come and strong men go, not one of them had David ever seen that even came close to the strength and to the honor and to the valor that he saw in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to those mighty beings that were around him, he said, I'm a mighty man, I've seen some mighty men, I fought some mighty men, but don't you forget and get distracted by the might that we see down here. Because when you compare it to the might that is up in heaven, is presiding over this entire world, he said, give unto him the strength and give unto him the glory. And all of it goes back to Christ, and all the might that we have, he said, you just give it all back to him. That's where it came from. David has a call to the mighty, those that are around him in heaven. He said, do not forget to give God the glory and give God the strength. If there's anything good that comes out of my life here, it's because of him. If there is anything good that happens, any battles I win, any giants that I kill, it's because all the strength came from him. And David said, give unto him the glory and the strength that is due unto his name. David asked these angelic beings to give to the Lord. But then he asked him to worship. He said in verse number 2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That word worship means to depress. We've talked about it before, to prostrate, to bow down, to come before a king and to submit yourself and recognize another's authority as more powerful and as another as being superior and another as being in a higher position and more elevated than I. John describes it perfectly when he said, he must increase, but I must decrease. And David said, when you come to the Lord, he said, if you could do one thing for me, he said, worship him. But this he said to do it in a certain way. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so he's asking them of everything they've just begun to remember and to realize about his glory and about his strength. He asked them to worship him, but he said, when you go to worship him, he said, do it in the beauty of holiness. And that word beauty refers to the ornaments of a person, the way they would dress themselves, maybe the jewelry that they would put on. And it makes you think of going into the tabernacle there, those ornaments that they would have on them as the high priest would go in, because he was dressing up in a certain way and he was elevating himself and dressing to the occasion there. And David has this idea in mind of the ornaments that are on them. He said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And that word holiness, as you know, it just means to be set apart, to be dedicated, to be sanctified for a certain purpose. And he said, when you go to worship God, he said, worship him in such a way where nothing else matters, to where it is all about him. Every bit of my worship is set aside for him. Every bit of my worship is dedicated to him. Everything about me points back to him for his glory and for his strength. Everything about my life is clean from the world and pure from the world. I've been set apart and sanctified to worship him. David is begging with those mighty ones in heaven. He said, worship him the way he deserves. Worship him free from sin. Worship him clean. Worship him in the beauty of holiness. So David is asking these men to worship him. He's asking them to give to and to worship the Lord, the existing one. So David, in this message to the mighty, he has a call for these mighty ones. But then he has a comparison for these mighty ones, not only about who God is, but he begins to talk about what he does. He said in verse number 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. In this comparison, he begins to talk about his voice. He talks about the presence of his voice. He said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. David's going to go on for several verses talking about all that God does with just His voice. All the power and all the glory and all the majesty that is behind just His voice. And David is going to go on to describe a storm. But when he begins to talk about the power that is behind God's voice and the storm that God's voice can begin to create and draw a picture here of God's voice upon the waters. They tell us that the ancient Canaanites that recognized deities as being over the sea and over the waters. David wants to make it very clear that the God he serves and the God he's begging them to worship and the God that he's begging them to give honor and glory and strength to is above any other God, and he's above any other deity, and he is above everything else. David has got a call for these men. He wants to give them a comparison about his voice. The sea always being a picture of the world, and the man in the Bible tells us that he is over every bit of it. He said the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. He didn't say He was underneath the waters or in the waters. He said He's upon the waters. He is over all of it. The presence of His voice. But notice the power of His voice in verse number 4. He said, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And I begin to think about its royalty. That phrase there, full of majesty, implies magnificence and splendor. Boy, not only is God's voice present over the entire world, but that voice is not like any other voice. It is a powerful voice, and it is a magnificent voice. And I tell you, there has never been a voice quite like His voice. You think about it, it was His voice that just spoke the world into existence. There's never been another voice that could speak anything into existence. But in 6 days, God with His voice spoke the world into existence. This is the same voice that spoke to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth out of the tomb. This is the same voice that said, rise, peace, be still, and it calmed the troubled waters. This is the same voice that David said, it's full of power. It's full of majesty. This is the same voice that the officer said, never man spake like this man. David said, when you go to worship Him, when you go to magnify Him, when you go to uplift Him, I want to remind you about His voice. He said, there's never been another voice like He has the royalty of His voice. But the reach of His voice. The Bible said in verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Not only the royalty of His voice, but the reach of His voice. You begin to study those cedars of Lebanon, and they're mentioned, I believe it's 14 different times in the Bible, specifically the cedars of Lebanon. And you begin to study those, and they were known in Bible days and in ancient times for their strength and for their power. They were known for their height and for their ability to withstand for years and grow to be hundreds and even thousands of years old. And they were very popular and considered the strongest tree in the ancient times. It references over and over again their sap, their excellent appearance, their height, and their strength. The fact that cedar does not rot. And the Bible tells us that Solomon would use these cedars of Lebanon in his palace. Because, boy, you couldn't get anything like the cedars of Lebanon. They were special. There was something different about it. They were majestic. They were something special and something costly and something valuable. Because of their strength and because of their height, they were used to build the mast of the ship that would sail in those days. But David said, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. David is going to remind us that the strongest thing that they could find, the tallest thing that they could find, the thing that would endure beyond anything else, he said, just the touch of His voice, just the sound of His voice breaks the strongest thing that I can find. And just the sound of His voice will come through, and the tallest height that we can climb, God is greater than that with just His voice. And the most excellent thing that we can find, His voice is greater than that. And the most valuable thing that we can find, is His voice is greater than that. The strongest thing that we can find, His voice is no match for that. David said, His voice is unlike any other voice. He said, you name it, you line it up, anything you want to, His voice is greater than that. He said, He breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. God's voice can penetrate the strongest and reach the highest, bring down the haughtiest, excel the most excellent, outlast the longest. There's never been a voice like His voice. And David said, if I could remind you, I'd remind you about His voice and the power that is behind His voice, the reach. There has never been place that God couldn't break down the barrier with just His voice. There's never been a heart that God couldn't melt with just His voice. There's never been a trial that He couldn't fix with just His voice. No matter how strong, no matter how tall, no matter how excellent, no matter how valuable, no matter what the situation is, David said, with just His voice, He breaks the strongest thing I can find. With just His voice, He takes it not only and breaks it. The Bible said in verse 6, He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn, he said he not only can he take them and break them, He said he's so strong in this storm that he can bring. He said he'll take them and fling them around on the mountains like they're matchsticks. He said, boy, the most excellent thing I can find, the tallest and the strongest thing I can find, he said, God can play with it like it's a toy. Do you realize how much bigger God is than the biggest thing that we can dream up? I mean, the hardest trial that I can imagine, the deepest valley that I can picture, and the darkest night that I've ever seen, God could take it and act like it's a toy. The Bible said that he flung out the stars in the palm of his hand, just a flick of his finger and he can fling out the stars. The Bible said he holds us in the palm of his hand. Can you imagine if we're in the palm of his hand, how little my trial really is to him? Boy, those cedars of Lebanon that seem so strong, that seem so valuable, that seem so excellent, seem like they could never decay and never rot. David said, could I remind you, with just his voice, he can take them and break them, just cast them aside like they're a toy. David wants to remind them of the reach of his voice. But then it's rending. He said in verse number 7, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. David here has been painting the picture for us of this storm and how it's spread out over all humanity. And then when it comes in, it's so strong that it can take the strongest thing that we can find and take it and break it like a toy. But in this storm, with most storms comes lightning. David said, even in this lightning where it's going to flash in just a matter of seconds and obliterate whatever it's in his path, he said, God can reach out in that split second. He can take and rend that lightning and send it where he wants to. He can take that lightning and split it and put it in a different place. You know what's interesting about his word? The Bible said it's sharp and powerful, quicker than any two-edged sword, piercing even the desire, dividing asunder soul and spirit, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is that God can take his word that's going in one direction and split it off and break it to 1,000 different hearts and calm 1,000 different hearts, mend 1,000 different heartbreaks, fix 1,000 different valleys with just one word. David said with just his voice, he could take the lightning bolts and just cast them aside to go in whatever direction he pleases. You know what's interesting tonight is that I could say something and have no idea who it's for tonight. God can take it and in just a split second apply it to every heart with just his voice. David said, if I could remind you about the rending of his voice, then the rocking of his voice. The Bible said in verse number 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. In the most desolate and the most deserted and the most lifeless places, his voice is enough to take that landscape, to shake it up and to change it where there had been no change for centuries, where everything had always been the same, where seasons came and seasons went, the grass grew and the grass died, where everything was the same. He said, with just his voice, well, he can take that scenery and change it in just an instant. Think about how powerful his voice is to break in on a heart that's been wrecked by sin, that's been ruined, where we can't reach it. It's unpenetrable to us. We'd never be able to get into it. And if we could, we couldn't do anything about it. But just his voice can take that soil and can break it up, and he can rock the desolate places and rock the desert places and rock the wilderness. The Bible said the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness with just his voice. We hadn't even got to his hands. We hadn't even got to what he sees. We're just talking about his voice. He speaks, and these things happen. But then the results of his voice, the Bible said, the voice of the Lord divided the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Then this is interesting. The Bible said, the voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, discovereth the forest. As I begin to study this, David here now, he's keeping with this analogy of a storm. This storm has come in. It's over all humanity. It's taken everything that's in its path and cast it aside like a toy. And it's lightning and it's thundering. And the Bible said, the voice of the Lord is thundering upon the waters and the wilderness has been shaken. But He zeroes in on a little deer that's here caught in the storm. And they tell us, you begin to study the hind in those days, that it was considered to have the hardest delivery of any of the ancient animals. And it was known for a painful, slow, and dangerous labor. It would often lose its life just in giving birth. And this was a long process and a dangerous process for this hind to just bring forth one calf. But David said when this storm comes in, he said it scares it so bad that it goes into labor prematurely. And this calf brings forth in a place where it never should have before. David said, this same voice that destroys, the same voice that demolishes everything in its path, can produce life in the midst of a storm. In a place where you thought nothing good could ever come out of it, in a place where you thought there is nothing good going to come out of this storm, we're all going to die, we're all going to go down in this storm, David said, that very same voice that brought death can bring deliverance in the middle of a storm. Amen. In a place where it seems like he has no business working, where it seems like it can only go down from here, the same voice that broke the cedars is the same voice that birthed this little deer. In the worst of storms, in the hardest conditions, God's voice alone is enough to bring life. You say, man, it seems stormy where I'm at, and it seems dark where I'm at, and it seems like I'm in a wilderness, and it seems like nothing is going right. God's voice alone is enough to bring life out of the death that is all around. And David said, if I could remind you that are around the throne about what we're seeing down here on earth, is I want to remind you about how sometimes God brings life out of nothing. God works when it seems like nobody else can, reminding them about the results of God's voice. But then, talk about the revelation of God's voice. He said this, verse 9, and discovereth the forest. That word discovereth means to strip off and to expose. And David said, when the voice of God's storm comes into this place, he said, the darkest and the gloomiest of forest, he said, it's just stripped away. He said, it's gone. It's almost like you remember years ago when the tornadoes had come through Ringgold and those areas, man, you ride through the damage and just everything is gone. Everything is stripped. There is nothing left. It's just bones of houses and trees and randomly in different places. And that is exactly the picture that David has in mind here. He said he discovereth the forest with just his voice. And what's so amazing is that there's no more secrets that forest can hold anymore. There's no more darkness and there's no more sin and there's nothing else that can be hidden inside of this forest. And David said when God's voice comes along, God knows how to pull aside the darkness. He knows how to pull the covers off. And he knows how to pull up the rug and expose the hidden things that are there. And he knows how to expose the sin that is there. And he knows how to expose the dangers maybe that lay way ahead, all with just his voice. You know, the only way a sinner can ever realize that he's lost is until God's voice comes and exposes the sin that's in his life, exposes his need for a Savior. And David said just his voice is enough to strip it all away, to pull it all back and to expose everything with just his voice. And the only way a sinner can realize his lost condition is if God's voice exposes it. But thankfully, there's never been a forest so dark that God couldn't bring the light. And there's never been some foliage so thick that God's voice couldn't pull it away and find you where you were in the middle of the darkness. God knows how to bring the light. David is talking about the revelation of God's voice, but then the respect of God's voice. He said, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. David understood that knowing the power of his voice, everyone who sees it can't help but point back to him and give him the glory. Boy, you look at the situations of life that God puts us in sometimes, boy, they're dark and they're stormy and it seems like everything is going wrong, but then we get to the other side and we realize that the whole world can see the only way this could have happened is if the voice of God did it. The only way that hind could have brought forth in the middle of that storm is if the voice of God did it. The only way that God could have brought life out of death is if the voice of God did it. The only way that a sinner could ever find his need of a Savior is if the voice of God did it. And we all have to stand back in amazement and say, my goodness, here he come through again. There's his voice again. The respect that's paid to God's voice. But I notice the person of his voice. The Bible said in verse 10, the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. It's amazing to me, I know I've drove this point home, but every bit of this that's happened, Brother Laddie, has just been through his voice. I mean, he hadn't even got there yet. Can you imagine what's going to happen when he gets there? But the Bible says this, that he sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The very flood that took everybody else under, and that storm that is below him, destroying the earth and destroying everything below it that he sees fit to do, the Bible said he's above all of it. Bible said he's sitting on top of it. Do you realize there's never been a storm you've walked through where he hadn't been on the other side of it? There's never been a valley where he hadn't been standing on the mountaintop. There's never been a sea where he hasn't been watching over and guiding. And David said, I want you to understand, it gets dark and it gets stormy down here and the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, but he's always been above it. He's always been above every storm and above every valley because he's in control of it. If he was below it, he would be controlled by the storm. God sits above the storm. The Bible said that he makes it to rain on the just and the unjust. The Bible said the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind. When he sends that storm in, God is up above it, controlling every bit of it, moving in every which way. God has his way in the whirlwind. David understood that this has all been because of his voice. He's in control of every bit of it. And he's not just king now. He said the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. David said, not just this storm, because storms come and storms go. It rained last night and it was clear today. Maybe raining tomorrow. David said if it storms again tomorrow, he'll be over that one too. And if it storms again tomorrow, it'll be his voice that brought it again. If it storms again tomorrow, it'll be his voice that's brought the thunder. If it storms again tomorrow, and if it gets dark tomorrow, it'll be his voice that leads the way. If anything happens tomorrow, it'll be God that did it, because he is king forever. You realize every storm we've ever been through, he was king over that one. He's king over this one, and he's king over all the ones to come, because he is the king that sitteth forever. David's message to those mighty that are around the throne, he said, I understand you don't go through trials like we do. You don't see the storms like we do. He said, but I just want you to know that I understand and that I know, even in the middle of a storm, he's above the storm and he's always going to be there. He's always been above the storm and he always will be after the storm. He said, I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to just worship him for a minute. You ought to just give him the glory that's due unto his name. You ought to just ascribe to him the strength that it takes to manipulate this storm. You ought to just worship him there in heaven. David is amazed by the voice of the Lord. David has a call to these mighty that are around the throne. David not only has a call, David has a comparison, but David, to end the chapter, has a conviction. He's going to speak for himself now. He's been speaking to the mighty in heaven, and then he drew a picture for us here below of what God does on earth. But this is what David believes in verse number 10 or 11. He said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David started off the chapter talking about praise him for who he is. David spent a lot of the chapter saying praise him for what he does. But David ends the chapter by saying praise him for what he will do. Because the Bible says this, he said, worship him now. He said, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters now. It's in the present. Right now, God is working in the storm. Right now, God is sending the thunder. But when he began to talk about the Lord began sending deliverance to his people, he said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. David said, right now it's a storm. Right now it's loud, and right now it's thundering, and right now things are happening that I can't control. He said, but one of these days, God's going to send safety. One of these days, God's going to send peace. And he said, you praise him for who he is. You praise him for what he's doing, but you praise him for what he's about to do when he delivers at the end of this storm. And he says this. Notice the return that he talks about. He said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. It's interesting that inscribing all this strength to God and then describing the most furious storm imaginable, David then gives us a promise from that very same God. And so that one that's so strong, that one that's so high, and that one that's so mighty, and the one that rides upon the wind, he said, he's going to give me peace. He's going to give me strength. He said, the strength that he has on top of the storm, he's going to give to me underneath the storm. And the strength that he has when he sends the thunder, he's going to give to me when I hear the thunder. And the strength that he has as he's above the water, he's going to send to me while I'm down in the water. He said, he hadn't done it yet. He said, but he will send strength. He said, praise him for what he will do, the return that he promises, but the relief. He said, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And that word peace just means safety. David said, I understand no matter how bad the storm gets, no matter how loud the thunder is, God will always send safety when it's needed. David said, I don't know when it'll be. He said, I'm not exactly sure how it's all going to shake out. Right now it's thundering. Right now the voice of the Lord is roaring upon the water. He said, but I do know that when I need it, he'll give me strength. And I do know that when the waters get too high, and I do know that when the lightning strikes too close, he'll give me safety. David said, you praise him for who he is. David said, you praise him for what he does, but you praise him for what he's going to do for us and taking care of us on down the road. David is convinced, no matter how bad the storm gets, no matter how high the waters roll, God will send safety. But I think about his reasoning. David said, there is no need to fear his hand when you know his heart. When you know the one that's on top of the waters, you can trust him while you're underneath them. And when you know the one that's guiding every bit of it, you can trust him to give you the strength to get you through it. David says, praise him for who he is. David said, praise him for what he does, but praise him for what he will do. David said, this strength and this safety is going to be for the future. He said, I may not even need it right now, but I do know that when I need it, it'll be there. And I do know that when it gets too bad and when it gets too rough and it seems like everything has gone wrong, there will be safety. There will be strength. And he said, I can trust that strength because this is the same strength that's coming from the one whose voice speaks in the hinds calf, whose voice speaks and the thunder rolls, whose voice speaks and earth leaps into creation. That's the kind of strength David knew he could depend on. As we stand tonight, they're going to come get us a song ready. David.